This is Than Bennett today on Jay Sekulow Live. 1 week before a new president is inaugurated, Israel continues to be threatened.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
In your opinion, what did the United States' failure last month to veto the UN resolution with regard to Israel do to our bilateral relationship with Israel?
I'd have to get back and look at that. I say that because I've read what's in the newspaper. I think we have got to restore a better relationship with Israel and with our Arab allies. I think there's a sense on their part that we are indifferent to the security situation that they face.
It's a little bit odd to hear you say that you want to be there to make sure that it's not one-sided. They say that it was a betrayal, that you stabbed Israel in the back, and now you're saying that you feel like you have to go to this conference in order to protect Israel from a one-sided result.
First of all, we stand by our abstention. We've made very clear the reasons why we did it, that it wasn't, we believed, one-sided against Israel, that it did, in fact, call out Palestinian actions that are also run counter to what our ultimate goal is, which is a two-state solution.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
Because of the extraordinary courage of our men and women in uniform, because of our intelligence officers and law enforcement and diplomats who support our troops, no foreign terrorist organization has successfully planned and executed an attack on our homeland these past 8 years.
How should our new administration address the rising threat of ISIS in Southeast Asia?
The way we do this, I think we have to deliver a very hard blow against ISIS in the Middle East so that there's no sense of invulnerability or invincibility there. There's got to be a military defeat of them there, but it must, as you point out, be a much broader approach.
And now your host, Than Bennett.
Hey everyone, welcome into the broadcast. Than Bennett in for Jay today. Jay, Jordan, and Logan will be back on Monday. Folks, in the meantime, there is a lot to get to on the show today. We are 1 week before a new president is going to be inaugurated, just 7 days from now. And yet, as we speak, Israel continues to be undermined. Folks, literally, as we are on the air, as I am broadcasting to you from Washington, D.C., Secretary John Kerry is en route to Paris. He's going to participate in the so-called peace conference that we have told you so much about. This is the conference that, until earlier in the week, the United States was not committed to attending. This is the conference that Israel does not want the United States to attend. And folks, in advance of that peace conference, there are reports that there is already a conclusion statement coming out of that conference, a statement that is being circulated among the nations, among the world leaders that will be in attendance. And that statement essentially underscores the resolution that was passed by the United Nations. Secretary Kerry and his spokespeople say that he is going, folks, to defend Israel. I can tell you something here. Israel does not want the United States under this administration participating in this conference and speaking in their defense. Enough damage has been done already. The key day on that, folks, is Sunday as the world leaders gather. And then next week, as the United Nations Security Council again convenes, we will be watching it closely. We will get into all of those details later in the broadcast, but we want to hear from you. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to talk about a lot of other issues as well. We're going to talk about some of those comments you heard from President Obama in the open, from his farewell address, folks. And then we are going to talk about a very contrasting view that we heard from the incoming Secretary of Defense, General Mad Dog Mattis, talking about how we must defeat ISIS over there, and we must issue a very hard blow to them. Folks, no more strategy of containment. We are going to try to defeat ISIS under the new president and under the new Secretary of Defense. We're going to talk about Obamacare repeal. The first vote in that cleared the United States Senate earlier this week. It will be in front of the House today. And also, the waiver for General Mattis has cleared the Senate. It will clear the House later today as well. Also, a new investigation at the FBI over Director Comey's handling of the Hillary Clinton matters. All of that, and folks, a very special guest on the broadcast in studio with me later, my good friend William Smith, who testified in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee in defense of Senator Session. All of that and more. We want you to be a part of the broadcast. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110.
Thank you. This week marks a critical time for the incoming Trump administration. Hearings begin for a number of vital cabinet positions. And at the top of the list, U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States. Senator Sessions is eminently and uniquely qualified for this post and will restore the rule of law and uphold the Constitution at the Department of Justice, something that is desperately needed. But here's the problem. Democrats are promising to pull out all the stops to oppose and derail this nomination. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're ready for the fight. We will support Senator Sessions and work aggressively to ensure his confirmation succeeds. Join us now in this battle. Senator Sessions must be confirmed as our next Attorney General. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. Again, I want to focus in right off the top of this segment on this new Paris Peace Conference that is happening over the weekend, specifically on Sunday. We now have confirmation from the State Department that Secretary Kerry will be in attendance. Folks, we really felt that the United States, in the waning week of their administration, should stay away from this peace conference. We know where the United States, under this administration, stands on the issue of Israel and the negotiations with the Palestinians, with not only the Palestinian government, but also the unity government, which, of course, includes Hamas. Folks, Hamas wants to push Israel into the sea. Their charter continues to call for the annihilation of the Israeli people. There should be no forcing them to a resolution with a government that wants to push them into the sea. I'm going to play some sound from you that came out of the State Department regarding why Secretary Kerry is attending this conference. There was actually a very lengthy back and forth, several reporters pushing the State Department spokesman Mark Toner on this. I'm going to play a couple of pieces of sound. Guys, I'm going to start with bite number 42. This is Matt Lee from the Associated Press questioning Mark Toner about, first of all, why he is attending, and then we'll get into a little bit of sound about how it might be a little bit hypocritical. Again, this is bite 42.
I'm interested in particular in the stop in Paris and the Mideast conference that the French are hosting. What is it that you guys expect to get out of this meeting?
This conference is going to take place with us or without us. And I think the Secretary, given his dedication and commitment to Middle East peace process and his engagement on the issue, feels obliged to be there. Because we have an interest in advancing a two-state solution, and we also have an interest in ensuring that whatever happens in this conference is constructive and balanced.
It's going to happen whether or not we attend or not. Well, folks, the presence of the United States, first of all, gives this conference legitimacy. Second of all, the position of the United States when it comes to forced resolution under the Obama administration is now that Israel should be forced into a resolution. You hear from Secretary Kerry and others that is not the position. But that is essentially what happened when the United States in the Security Council refused to exercise its veto. So by attending this conference over the weekend, the United States is pushing that policy agenda forward. Now, again, the United Nations is in session next week in the form of the Security Council. The question of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is on the agenda. So one of our greatest fears is that the end result of this conference will be a new resolution at the Security Council. And folks, one of the biggest problems with this is the most likely veto of a resolution like that is now Russia. It's now Vladimir Putin. So even if our worst fears aren't realized next week, what we have essentially done, we have taken the issue of our greatest ally in the region, Israel, and we have made Vladimir Putin the most powerful player in the world on that issue. Now, Mark Toner got some pushback from Matt Lee. Guys, I want to go to bite number 45, basically calling out the hypocrisy of the Obama administration. Let's go ahead and play it, bite 45.
It's a little bit odd to hear you say that you want to be there to make sure that it's not one-sided. They say that it was a betrayal, that you stabbed Israel in the back, and now you're saying that you feel like you have to go to this conference in order to protect Israel from a one-sided result.
First of all, we stand by our abstention. We've made very clear the reasons why we did it, that it wasn't, we believed, one-sided against Israel, that it did, in fact, call out Palestinian actions that are also run counter to what our ultimate goal is, which is a two-state solution.
Folks, the Prime Minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, called this a last grasp to hang on to past policies and refused to endorse what the future policy of the United States will be. And I think that is accurate. But, folks, there are real ramifications for an action like this. We've talked about them on this broadcast many times before. These types of resolutions can lead to attacks on Israel at the International Criminal Court. They can also lead to any number of boycott efforts. We told you last week about the $200,000 a year employee over the course of 8 months that the United Nations has now authorized to establish a database of companies that do business in East Jerusalem as well as Judea and Samaria. Folks, that will undergird the boycott, divest, and sanction effort that is taking place across this country and around the world. The U.S. administration under Barack Obama in this final week, they should not be heading to Paris. But folks, they're en route as we speak. I would not be surprised if Jay is going to come to you over a Facebook update on Sunday to give you an update on what comes out of that conference. And then on Monday, we are going to see if a formal resolution ends up being referred to the United Nations for consideration. I want to hear what you have to say on this. Is this what you're most focused on in the final week of the Obama administration? Maybe you're more interested in Obamacare or the new investigation that is now taking place inside the Department of Justice over Director Comey's handling of emails. What is on your mind? I'd like to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. I want to take a couple of your calls in this segment of the broadcast. By the way, the next segment of the broadcast, Professor Harry Hutchison, our Director of Policy here at the ACLJ, is going to come on and give us all an update on where we stand with the nominations for President-elect Trump's cabinet. We're going to specifically get into the nominations of Rex Tillerson to be the next Secretary of State and General Mad Dog Mattis to be the next defense secretary. So that's the next segment of the broadcast. But for now, let's go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Michael, calling on line 3 from Virginia Beach. Michael, you're on the air.
Hello, fan from Virginia Beach, and I must say that I appreciate your commentary on this show every day as being the most concise and insightful heard anywhere in American radio. Thank you for what you do. Now, in regard to this Paris peace thing, there is a question. I have a follow-up question for it, but there is an inherent question here, and the question is this. Does a two-state solution imply a two-state administration of the Temple Mount? And the follow-up question is, why don't you and Jay and Jordan bring the best biblical experts to explain why we talk about the Palestinians as Palestinians rather than as what they are, Philistines, and what that means, a two-state solution on the Temple Mount with the Philistines?
It's a great question, Michael, and nobody speaks to this issue better than Jay does. I'll leave the biblical perspective on this to him. He's an expert on this. But let me speak to the policy question about a two-state solution, because I will tell you this is a raging debate even within very staunch pro-Israel legislators here in Washington, D.C. Here's the problem. For many years, the state of Israel conceded that a two-state solution would be something that they would be willing to pursue. But here's the bottom line. Their negotiating partner in this, the Palestinian Authority in that unity government with Hamas, was never willing to sit down with the table and negotiate a two-state solution that included Israel sovereignty. Therefore, listen, you cannot have a peaceful two-state solution if Hamas is a partner to that agreement, because Hamas will not change its charter, which calls for pushing Israel in the sea. Hamas will not accept the existence of an Israeli state. So one of the international debates and one of the reasons that there is a push for further resolutions at the United Nations is because some in the Israeli government have taken a hard look at the truth and said, we don't know if a two-state solution is possible. If there was a two-state solution possible that did not involve Hamas and that involved the acknowledgement of a Jewish state of Israel, it would certainly be on the table. But it is a very real question on whether or not that is viable. And yes, you mentioned the Temple Mount. That is certainly one of the disputed territories. And if you ask the people who drafted the resolution at the United Nations, they would, of course, say that a divided Jerusalem, including the Temple Mount, must be a part of it. So you speak directly to the core of this issue, but here's the bottom line. Israel has to be able to make this decision and reach this resolution through negotiations with a Palestinian government that acknowledges its right to exist. Anything that is a forced resolution will undermine that sovereignty. So great call, Michael. Let's go ahead and try to take a comment, maybe another call before the end of the break, and we'll have Professor Hutchison join us for the next segment. Let's see. Jimmy on Facebook says, we need Israel and Israel needs us. Could not agree with you more. I would just suggest to Jimmy that it is on national security matters that we need Israel the most. They are our most dependable ally in the most hostile region of the world. And we know from all of the recent attacks, even though President Obama says there haven't been any during his term, we can play that sound again in a minute. There, of course, have been attacks, all of them stemming from this region. Israel has been our most faithful ally. It is tragic that the United States has walked away from Israel in the waning days of this administration like we have. When I say we, I do mean the Obama administration, not the American people. Let's quickly grab one more call before we head to a break. Let's go to Robert calling on line one from Woodlands, Texas. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Can I go forward?
All right, Robert, we're going to come back to you. It looks like you're tied up, maybe driving. I've been there, done that. Let's maybe see if you can pull over, find a place to call back into the show. We'll get you on in a later segment of the broadcast. Folks, 7 days till a new president of the United States is inaugurated. Typically at this time, outgoing presidents are giving things like farewell addresses that do not set new policy. They are not starting diplomatic wars with one of our staunchest allies in Israel. They are not starting diplomatic wars with someone who has been an adversary, namely Vladimir Putin in Russia. But this administration is doing exactly that. We're going to get into all of that. And also in the next segment, we're going to talk about the incoming president's cabinet. There were some disagreements between the president-elect and some of the nominees in yesterday's hearing. And the president-elect said he's absolutely fine with that. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to get into some of those details. And by the way, sign our petition. Stand with Israel. Call on the United States to stand by our allies, ACLJ.org. Back after this.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This week marks a critical time for the incoming Trump administration. Hearings begin for a number of vital cabinet positions. And at the top of the list, U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States. Senator Sessions is eminently and uniquely qualified for this post and will restore the rule of law and uphold the Constitution at the Department of Justice, something that is desperately needed. But here's the problem. Democrats are promising to pull out all the stops to oppose and derail this nomination. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're ready for the fight. We will support Senator Sessions and work aggressively to ensure his confirmation succeeds. Join us now in this battle. Senator Sessions must be confirmed as our next Attorney General. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett with you. I'm also joined in our studios in Nashville, Tennessee by Professor Harry Hutchison, our Director of Public Policy. You know him well from this broadcast. We're going to talk a little bit about the current status of President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet's confirmation hearings. There are now six high-level nominees, if you include Mike Pompeo to be the director of the CIA. Those hearings are wrapped up. I'm going to sort of set the table for this conversation with Harry by playing a couple of sound bites from President Obama's farewell address, guys. And I'm also going to play a little bit of sound from General Mattis, the nominee to be the Secretary of Defense, to sort of set the groundwork for the conversation I want to have with Harry. First of all, President Obama, in issuing his farewell address, he went down a litany of accomplishments. And I've got a list of them here. I'm not going to get into all of them. Honestly, I don't think a single one of them that he listed is accurately described. But I'm going to focus in on his proclaimed record on fighting terrorism and specifically ISIS. I want to start with Bite 19. This is President Obama claiming that the United States has not been attacked by a foreign entity during his term. Again, this is Bite 19, President Obama.
Because of the extraordinary courage of our men and women in uniform, because of our intelligence officers and law enforcement and diplomats who support our troops, no foreign terrorist organization has successfully planned and executed an attack on our homeland these past 8 years.
No foreign terrorist organization has successfully planned and executed an attack on our homeland these past 8 years. You might think that he's talking about a different 8 years than the ones that we just came through, because, of course, we've had a litany of attacks. I think we counted them up on the broadcast last week and came up with 12 just off of the top of our head. But, in fact, he did not forget, folks, because in the very next breath, the very next statement out of the president's mouth, he lists several of these attacks that have occurred by perpetrators who have demonstrated an allegiance to ISIS. Let's go ahead and play it. It's Bite 20, President Obama.
And although Boston and Orlando and San Bernardino and Fort Hood remind us of how dangerous radicalization can be, our law enforcement agencies are more effective and vigilant than ever. We have taken out tens of thousands of terrorists, including bin Laden.
So he mentions Orlando, San Bernardino, Boston, all attacks where the perpetrators pledged allegiance to a foreign terrorist organization. I'm going to bring Harry Hutchison in here. Harry, I'm going to play some sound in just a moment from the nominee to be the Secretary of Defense, General Mattis, with a very stark contrast to what we just heard from President Obama. But first, I want to get your thoughts on what motivated the president to make this statement. Clearly, the American people know that we are under threat by ISIS and other foreign terrorist organizations. What possibly was going through the president's mind when he made those comments?
Well, Than, you ask a great question. President Obama's go-to strategy is simply grounded in self-congratulations. In other words, he's prepared to ignore direct, clear, contradictory evidence on the ground in order to advance his agenda. Essentially, he wants to downplay radical Islamic terror, and he wants to downplay radical Islamic ideology. For instance, recall the Fort Hood attack. For 6 years, the Obama administration characterized the Fort Hood attack as nothing more or less than workplace violence. Recently, I believe, they've conceded that the perpetrator was motivated by external forces. In other words, he pledged essential allegiance to a foreign terrorist organization. So foreign terrorists have managed to inflict tons of pain on the United States. Hundreds of victims, San Bernardino, Orlando. We had the pressure cooker bombings in New Jersey and New York. We had an individual stabbing people on the Ohio State campus. Perhaps the president is engaged in nothing more or less than willful blindness.
I think you're right, Professor. And, you know, this has been a strategy of appeasement, a strategy of containment. And I would just suggest a strategy of containment means that the threat is perpetual. You might try to restrict it to a given region, but clearly the threat that we face can operate from a base in a particular region and threaten the United States. I want to play a piece of sound for you. This is Senator Joni Ernst from Iowa questioning General Mattis yesterday at his confirmation hearings, and she's talking specifically about the threat in Southeast Asia. But General Mattis says two things in this response that I think are so key, and I want to get Harry's response on the diametrically opposite perspective on terror that the new administration is likely to take under President-elect Trump and General Mattis. This is Byte 57, Senator Joni Ernst and General Mad Dog Mattis.
How should our new administration address the rising threat of ISIS in Southeast Asia?
The way we do this, I think we have to deliver a very hard blow against ISIS in the Middle East so that there's no sense of invulnerability or invincibility there. There's got to be a military defeat of them there, but it must, as you point out, be a much broader approach.
Harry, I want to get your perspective on this. The two things that he said, that General Mattis said, that I thought indicated very clearly that there would be a shift in policy here is that we have to deliver a very hard blow against ISIS in the Middle East so that there's no sense of invulnerability or invincibility there. And then the second thing, there's got to be a military defeat of them there. Harry, we have been through 8 years where the policy has been to contain. We have not had a mission to destroy the enemy. And according to the testimony of the new Secretary of Defense, if he's confirmed, that strategy is about to change.
And it's about time, then, that and it needs to change very, very quickly. If the United States government is going to defeat radical Islamic terror, we must commit to defeating them. We must back away from a strategy of containment, and we must back away from a strategy which fails to identify the enemy in the first place. The United States government, under President Obama, has offered up a nonsensical, shambolic strategy that is destined to allow the forces of terror to continue to expand. We should note, for instance, that ISIS has expanded to more than 28 countries under President Obama's watch. So things need to change, and they need to change very, very quickly. I think General Mattis's statements are very, very welcome for all Americans who are interested in national security.
No question about it, Harry. Could not agree with you more. Debbie on Facebook says, do you think that all of the nominees will be confirmed? I actually want to see if Harry can stay over for the next segment of the broadcast. We're just about out of time in this segment to get his comments on that. But I would say this. We've been talking about General Mattis. Folks, he is probably the closest to confirmation as we speak because the Senate has already cleared his waiver to become the next Secretary of Defense. They cleared it with more than 80 votes. Now, the final confirmation vote on him will probably be closer than that. But that was his most significant hurdle to confirmation. I think he will be confirmed. We will talk about some of the other nominees when we come back. Listen, if this is where you lose us on your station, you can join us on Facebook or Periscope. We'll be right back after this break. Another 30 minutes of the broadcast. Harry's going to stay over for the next segment. And two segments from now, my good friend William Smith to talk about the confirmation of Senator Jeff Sessions. We'll be right back after this.
This week marks a critical time for the incoming Trump administration. Hearings begin for a number of vital cabinet positions. And at the top of the list, U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States. Democrats are promising to pull out all the stops. Join us now in this battle. Senator Sessions must be confirmed as our next Attorney General. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
welcome back to the broadcast. Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C., joined by Professor Harry Hutchison in our Nashville offices. The next segment of the broadcast, my good friend William Smith is going to join me here in studio. He's going to talk about his testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee alongside Cory Booker. There's one clear distinction here. William was testifying in defense of Jeff Sessions, and oh, by the way, he has known and worked for Senator Sessions for a number of years. So his testimony contrasted with Senator Booker. We'll put it politely. He might have another way to describe it, but he'll be here in the next segment of the broadcast. But before we lost Harry, Harry, I wanted to give you a chance to give us your perspective on how the confirmation hearings for Rex Tillerson, the nominee to be the next Secretary of State, went. I was particularly struck by the comments that he made in regards to Russia. There was an exchange with Senator Rubio where Senator Rubio was pretty tough on him, was pretty tough on the policy positions of the incoming president. And by the way, there were several nominees who said that there is some space between their own personal views and the president-elect's views. And the president-elect came back and said, I'm just fine with that. I want these nominees to tell you where they stand. At the end of the day, these policy decisions are going to be decided by me, but I have nominated the best people to carry out those plans. I don't expect them to be in lockstep with me. But what were your general thoughts on Rex Tillerson's hearings? He struck me as competent of the issues, but he is coming from the outside. What did you make of the proceedings?
Well, Fan, I agree with you. And frankly, I was surprised at his testimony, which suggests extreme competence. In addition, I would suggest that he was prepared to take a more adversarial view with respect to Russia. And thirdly, I would suggest that some of the questions coming from Senator Rubio were absolutely unfair. So, for instance, Senator Rubio wanted Tillerson to declare that Vladimir Putin was indeed a war criminal. So let's stipulate that there is sufficient evidence to classify Putin as a war criminal. Does it make sense for an incoming Secretary of State to label him a war criminal? Because that provokes the next question, which is, what are we prepared to do about it? And if we're not prepared to do anything about it, then I don't think it advances U.S. interests for us to label Mr. Putin as a war criminal, particularly when we have Bashar Assad out there and others.
I'm going to play for you the sound that Harry's talking about and then give you my perspective. I certainly agree with what Harry's saying about it restricting the ability of the new president-elect to establish a relationship with Russia and chart a new strategy, because, of course, the current one has not worked. It has failed miserably. But let's play this exchange that Harry's talking about. It's Byte 35 between Senator Rubio and the nominee to be the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson.
And what's publicly in the record about what's happened in Aleppo and the Russian military, you are still not prepared to say that Vladimir Putin and his military have violated the rules of war and have conducted war crimes in Aleppo.
Now, those are very, very serious charges to make, and I would want to have much more information before reaching a conclusion in order to deal with a serious question like this.
Mr. Tillerson, what's happened in Aleppo is in the public domain. The videos and the pictures are there.
Fully informed before advising the president.
Folks, my own perspective on this, it's much in line with what Harry said. I don't think it was fair to expect Rex Tillerson to answer that any other way, because the new president should be allowed to set his new policy and chart a better course for our relationships with Russia. I will say this, though. I actually think it's a very good thing that there are senators in the United States Senate who are going to hold the new administration 2 feet to the fire on this. I think of Senator Rubio. I think of Senator Graham. I think of Senator McCain. All of them know Vladimir Putin very well in his past. Folks, Jay's written a book on this called Unholy Alliance. We know that Vladimir Putin has not been our friend. We know that he would love nothing more than to undermine the United States. We know that he has acted to do so in the past. However, that does not change the fact that the current administration's foreign policy with regards to Russia has failed. He should not be working to undermine the attempts of the next president to set a new course with Russia. And frankly, that's what he was trying to do. Folks, after this break, William Smith joins me in studio. We'll be right back after this.
This week marks a critical time for the incoming Trump administration. Hearings begin for a number of vital cabinet positions. And at the top of the list, U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States. Senator Sessions is eminently and uniquely qualified for this post and will restore the rule of law and uphold the Constitution at the Department of Justice, something that is desperately needed. But here's the problem. Democrats are promising to pull out all the stops to oppose and derail this nomination. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're ready for the fight. We will support Senator Sessions and work aggressively to ensure his confirmation succeeds. Join us now in this battle. Senator Sessions must be confirmed as our next Attorney General. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. I am extremely excited to have a very good friend of mine join me in studio today. This is, I'm going to embarrass him. It's a good thing that those of you on Facebook and Periscope can't see him right now. This is one of the good folks here in Washington, D.C., folks. I think there are a lot of good folks here in D.C., William, but there are, you know, maybe some who aren't here for the right reasons. This is a longtime friend of mine. I will personally vouch for his character, the fact that he's a true conservative. He is someone who served Senator Sessions for a long time, many years on the Senate Judiciary Committee as his chief counsel. He is now the chief of staff to Congressman Gary Palmer of Alabama. And many of you were introduced to him earlier this week when he testified in front of the Judiciary Committee alongside Senator Booker, although with a slightly different perspective. Those of you who did not see him were just introduced to him with that video that we played on Facebook and Periscope introducing you to him. William, thanks for stopping by to be with us today.
Thanks for having me on. I'm glad to be here. I appreciate your friendship over the years.
I appreciate that as well. This is one of the good guys. I want to ask about two main aspects of this confirmation hearings. I want to get to substance shortly here because I think that's what we should really focus on, how Senator Sessions is uniquely qualified for this post. I would say maybe more than just about any nominee we've had to this post ever. But I want to start with the reason, at least that I would say, that the panel that you testified on existed was because of the racial undertones that had been put forward on Senator Sessions' nomination. There was a panel of six witnesses: Senator Booker, Congressman John Lewis, Congressman Cedric Richmond. More or less, and this will be my words, not yours, but more or less impugned Senator Sessions' character. It was tough for me to see. We of course, have a history that has a racial stain on it. We have racial issues now. But to impugn a man as decent as Senator Sessions without evidence was very sad to me. I was proud of you for defending him. I was proud of the way Senator Sessions handled himself. But before we get to substance, I want to ask you, why was that even an issue in this case? Why was the panel that you testified even necessary?
I don't think the panel was necessary, and it should not have been permitted. I think what happened in this situation is that you had a group of House members who were going to play the race card against anyone who didn't give them an opportunity to testify. So I think instead of just putting the foot down and saying, listen, House members have no role in the confirmation process. If you want to show up and assail a man's character, attack him without provocation, we're not going to give you the platform to do it. But I think, you know, ultimately they, I guess I would say, folded and gave them the platform to attack Senator Sessions, which they should not have done.
I couldn't agree with you more. I'm going to play for you, for our listeners. We're going to talk about substance, but I'm going to play for you a little bit of sound from Senator Booker just to remind you what he said. I viewed this as his launch to run for president in 2020. So I know many others did. He did not come out and say that directly, but I think he thought it was an opportunity that he could seize. Let's go ahead and just for reference sake, let's play a little bit of sound from Senator Booker opposing the nomination of Senator Sessions because of racial implications.
Senator Sessions has not demonstrated a commitment to a central requisite of the job, to aggressively pursue the congressional mandate of civil rights, equal rights, and justice for all of our citizens. In fact, at numerous times in his career, he has demonstrated a hostility towards these convictions and has worked to frustrate attempts to advance these ideals.
William, it's a direct attack on Senator Sessions' character without any evidence. You, of course, served with him for a long time. And sort of humorously, in one interview, you said that the only time he's offended you is when he said he was going to vote for Eric Holder. So he's clearly worked across lines as well. Those comments had to hurt just a little bit.
I think those comments were very offensive. It's harmful and hurtful to see someone attack the character of someone you know well, someone you care about, someone you know that does not represent anything that Cory Booker said. Now, Booker, you know, he says all of these things about Senator Sessions, but they're just basically mere allegations and innuendos. He has no facts, and he should really be ashamed of the way he performed yesterday. No other sitting senator has come out against another sitting senator, and you're absolutely correct. He was doing this for political expediency. He's probably seeking higher office, and I think he really got it handed to him yesterday, though.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I thought you ably defended him. I thought some of the others did as well. I just wanted to play quickly one quick bite. It's about 8 seconds long from one of the other witnesses that testified in defense of Senator Sessions. This is Willie Huntley, bite number 17.
In my opinion, Jeff Sessions will enforce and follow the laws of the United States even-handedly, equally, and with justice for all.
William, I wanted to play that because this is what I really want to focus on. Senator Booker not only attacked Senator Sessions' character, he also attacked his commitment to the job that he is going to do, a commitment to civil rights, a commitment to rule of law. And you, more than anyone, know that Senator Sessions is uniquely qualified for this. I mean, you think about our law enforcement system in this country. Senator Sessions has served on every side of this. I mean, you talk about being the state attorney general, a U.S. attorney, private practice, on the Senate Judiciary Committee for how many years was he on there? I mean,
20 years.
Yeah, 20 years, and you were there for a large part of it. In my opinion, if you were going to sort of draft a resume for attorney general, it might look an awful lot like Senator Sessions does.
I think that's exactly right. I don't think there has been anyone more qualified for the job than Senator Sessions. You've highlighted his background, United States attorney under President Reagan, attorney general for Alabama, served on the Senate Judiciary Committee for 20 years, but just keen intellect, a guy who loves the law, who believes in equal justice, a guy who cares for people, a guy who wants to see everyone treated fairly. As I said in my testimony, when you go before Senator Sessions, you're going to come away from the process knowing that you've been treated fairly. Whether you win or lose, you're going to know the process was good.
Yeah, and you don't have to look that far in our history to actually see members of the United States Senate who do have a past of racial problems. And Senator Sessions is not one of them. I'm going to read a couple of the comments that we're getting in on Facebook specifically to you. I'll read a few of them. First of all, Kat on Facebook says, "I love Jeff Sessions. He'll be a great attorney general. I could not agree more." Next, Janice on Facebook says, "So happy to see some good people like William Smith in Washington." And Sandra on Facebook says, "Thank you, William Smith, for standing with Jeff Sessions. You are a patriot, sir." I certainly echo that. William, you've been in the trenches for a long time. You haven't always agreed with Senator Sessions, by the way. In fact, I can think of a few times where you've adamantly disagreed with him, but you certainly stood by his character in a way that is honorable this week. I thank you for that. Let me just ask you a question on process, because nominations that become before the Senate Judiciary Committee can take a little bit longer than some other committees just due to some procedural rules, the minority's ability to hold witnesses over and the like. What is a timeline that you expect this to proceed on, and what's your forecast on the likelihood of confirmation?
Well, first of all, address the likelihood of confirmation. There's absolutely no chance he will not be confirmed. So he has the votes. Every Republican will vote for Senator Sessions. That's a substantial amount of votes, at least enough to get him over the hurdle. And you've seen Joe Manchin said he was going to support him. I fully expect that you might see some other Democrats support him at the end of the day. So absolutely he'll be confirmed. As far as time, it really depends on how much the Democrats try to fight. So as you know, the Senate Judiciary Committee will first have to vote on its nomination. And what happens is that you put him on the what they call the committee agenda, and then the Democrats will say, we really need more time. Let's hold him over for 1 week. And if they do that, that sort of delays it because that pushes it past the inauguration. And then if the Senate's out for a week or, you know, and so they come back the next week and then they vote on his confirmation, then he goes to the Senate floor, and then they can delay some more on the Senate floor. But ultimately, he's going to get a vote. It's my understanding that, you know, they sent out a request yesterday, I believe, or a day before yesterday, to ask for a limited amount of debate and a vote on January 20th. I imagine some Democrats objected to that. Now, the question is how far off they go. It's my understanding they could go as far as February 3rd, but probably no later than that. Hopefully, they will see that he's going to be confirmed, and they will back off and let him be confirmed more quicker.
I think it's important for folks to hear that, and it's something that I've been telling them as well, because if he is not one of the first nominees that's confirmed, it does not indicate that he necessarily has a problem being confirmed. There are just some additional hurdles, as William has described, in the Senate Judiciary Committee that could hold him up just a little bit. But I will just say this. I thought the composure, the character, the grace, the kindness that Senator Sessions shows when he was testifying, I didn't really believe that the Democrats would be able to mount a real challenge to his nomination, but that clinched it. I mean, you saw the character of Senator Sessions when he appeared before the committee. We just got about a minute left in this segment, William, but I just want to say on behalf of our audience, on behalf of Jay and Jordan and myself as well, thank you for your testimony this week. Thank you for being a good friend over the years. We've been in the trenches together on a number of issues. I'm sure that will happen again. I'm happy to have you on the House side now, but I'm grateful for you coming over to spend a few minutes with us. Thank you.
Thank you for having me over here. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for the great work that you guys do. It's been a pleasure to work with you, and I look forward to continuing in the battle.
Folks, one of the really great people, I've said it a few times, I'll say it a few more times, William Smith, longtime chief counsel for Senator Sessions. Bold testimony. He wouldn't call it bold because it was just the truth, and but, folks, he was sitting just a few seats down from Senator Booker, who's probably going to be running for president in 2020, and he was talking about the man that he knows. Senator Booker was talking about someone with whom he's acquainted. William Smith was talking about the man that he knows, the next Attorney General of the United States, Jeff Sessions. I'm very grateful for him stopping by the studio to spend a few minutes with us today. We will, keep you posted on Senator Sessions' nomination as we move forward. After this break, we're going to get to your calls. A lot of you have been waiting a long time. We're going to go through them. We're going to take each and every call that I've got. We'll be right back after this on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This week marks a critical time for the incoming Trump administration. Hearings begin for a number of vital cabinet positions. And at the top of the list, U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States. Senator Sessions is eminently and uniquely qualified for this post and will restore the rule of law and uphold the Constitution at the Department of Justice, something that is desperately needed. But here's the problem. Democrats are promising to pull out all the stops to oppose and derail this nomination. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're ready for the fight. We will support Senator Sessions and work aggressively to ensure his confirmation succeeds. Join us now in this battle. Senator Sessions must be confirmed as our next Attorney General. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Well, that was fun for me. William Smith is a good friend of mine. He did a great job this week in defense of Senator Sessions. I'm glad he was able to join us. Folks, we're going to get to your phone calls. Now we're going to get to all of them. We have a full bank. I apologize you've been waiting so long. Also, Melanie on Facebook says, Booker praised Senator Sessions not long ago. Why the big reverse? Yeah, Melanie, about 11 months ago, he partnered with Senator Sessions, not just on any random project. He partnered with Senator Sessions to draft and pass legislation that honored the foot soldiers of the 1965 Civil Rights March. And yet, this week, he sat down the dais from Senator Sessions and impugned his character. I would suggest to you that there was a political motive there, but that's my personal opinion. Listen, let's go right to the phones. Let's start with Robert calling from Woodlands, Texas on line one. Robert, you have been waiting a long time. Thank you for holding on, and you are on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to talking about Israel. The Bible actually states that God will, in time, punish those who have separated his land. And if you look in the Old Testament, God always lifted the hedge of protection when the actual leaders of an area where Israel was in at the time, he lifted his hedge of protection when they turned away from him. And so if our leaders are the ones, you know, not vetoing this and trying to be a part of that summit, you know, they're asking for God's punishment on America. So we definitely got to be in prayer about that.
Couldn't agree with you more, Robert. I would just quickly say two things before we go to the next caller. Number one, that's why it's so important for the American people to speak out and make sure that Israel understands that they do not stand with this administration on the walk away from Israel. And by the way, judging by those of you who have signed our petition, the American people have done just that. And the second thing is to echo a statement of Ambassador Samantha Power as she is leaving her role as UN ambassador. She says that the world will follow the United States if we will lead. She's exactly right, but we've been leading in the wrong direction on this one, and it's time for a change on that front. Let's go right back to the phones. Let's go to line four. Bob is calling from my home state of Illinois. He's calling from Chicago, home of the Chicago Cubs. Bob, you're on the air.
Yes, I got two things. One, I just want to commend Jay on his book, Unholy Alliance, a very good book. And I also like to commend David Clay Johnson on the Making of Donald Trump, another good book.
Thank you, Bob. I think you were also going to ask about Obamacare. I'll just briefly update that. But yes, if you have not read Unholy Alliance by our chief counsel, Jay Sekulow, you need to do so. Long before this was front page on the news, Jay has outlined the systematic plan that Vladimir Putin and others in the jihadi world have against the United States in the effort to undermine the American administration. So again, Unholy Alliance, you can buy it wherever books are sold. Also, quickly on the Obamacare issue, yes, the first step passed the Senate earlier this week to set up a 51-vote threshold for repealing Obamacare. That vote will happen in the House today. It will be a several-week process, folks. This is going to go well into the spring, but the Obamacare repeal process is underway, so we will keep you updated on that as well. Let's go back to the phones. Rick is calling on line six from Phoenix, Arizona. He's been on hold for about a half hour. Rick, thank you for holding on. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, thank you. I have a question to ask you about the presidency, the way that it's handled. If we had a substantial attack on the United States, such as like the Twin Towers, would Obama be able to stay in power?
Yeah, the answer is no. I mean, I've heard this from some other people. There's some emergency contingency. And I will tell you this. This is why Donald Trump is getting the intelligence briefings now during this transition period. He is getting the same information that President Obama is getting. He will be prepared to take the reins a week from today after he is sworn in. He becomes the commander in chief. But I would suggest this. This is why it is important for the national security team of President Obama to get prompt consideration by the United States Senate, whether you support them or oppose them. And I would suggest the most important piece is General Mattis for the Department of Defense. And it is now clear that he is going to be confirmed. 81 senators voted to grant him a waiver since he's only been out of uniform for 3.5 years. The law says that you have to either be out for 7 or get a waiver from Congress. General Mattis got that waiver from the Senate yesterday. The House is going to approve it today. He is going to be the next Secretary of Defense. I would suggest it needs to happen very quickly. That is one of the nominations, confirmations that needs to happen a week from today on Inauguration Day. Let's go back to the phones. A couple more to get before the end of the broadcast. Let's go to Lenny calling on line two from Buffalo, New York. He's also been waiting a long time. Lenny, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a question. If the U.S. recognizes the Palestinian state, what actual changes are set into motion, and can they be undone by the Trump administration?
It's a great question, Lenny, and I have to answer that in tiers. First of all, any action that's taken by the United Nations, whether it's statehood or elevating the status of the Palestinian government at the United Nations, even the resolution that was passed last week, enforcement is always dependent on the rest of the world. So Israel is not going to retreat to borders that are indefensible, but it does solicit a couple of different things. One, diplomatic attacks. We've already seen this. We've seen the boycott efforts that are now being supported by the United Nations, this database of companies doing business in East Jerusalem. It underpins those type of efforts. It also makes them vulnerable to attacks at the International Criminal Court. But Lenny, I would suggest to you that it also increases the likelihood of violent interaction, of war conflict between these two nations, because the Palestinian government, including Hamas, will look at this resolution, will look at a potential statehood resolution as making it legitimate for them to attack and invade Israel. They will use that as justification for doing so. And maybe the most problematic thing of all is Israel's defense is going to depend on the rest of the world. Specifically, it will depend on the United States. I have no doubt that the new commander-in-chief will be in the right place on this, but it does nothing but harm his ability to stand with Israel and the Israeli people to have the outgoing administration do an about-face on Israel policy after decades of standing with Israel in all of the international bodies. To walk away in the waning days of the administration is not the right course of action. And by the way, even though I disagree with the policy decision, if President Obama was going to do this, he should have done it when he was going to be in office to deal with the fallout. He did not do that. He waited till his party lost the White House, and then he made an about-face with one of our closest allies in the world, certainly our closest ally in that region. And now the new president will have to deal with the ramifications. So thank you for that call. Let's quickly go back to the phones. Let's go to Marlene on line three from Arizona. Marlene, you're on the air.
Yeah, my question is, can Donald Trump say he's against the policies of the UN and that we stand with Israel? And as far as the United States, we took any land that we want at war. Why can't Israel?
It's a great question, Marlene. I'm going to answer it, but I'm going to quickly take Rico's call from California on line five. We just have a few seconds left in the broadcast. It's on the same topic. Rico, you are on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Sam. Hey, I think that the Obama administration and the UN is blatantly testing Trump, and I think it's going to backfire a hundredfold for Israel's good, and that they're going to flourish under Trump. So God bless Trump and you, too.
Well, the good news for Marlene and Rico is that the incoming president has already indicated that he is going to not only revert back to the policy that the United States has held for a long time, he has doubled down and reaffirmed his commitment to Israel. He has said that our interactions at the United Nations will be absolutely different. Now, folks, he cannot take back this resolution. What he can do is stand with Israel when they're attacked at the International Criminal Court, when they're attacked with boycott, divest, and sanctions, and he has committed to doing so. Stand with Israel, sign our petition at aclj.org, and we'll see you on Monday.
This week marks a critical time for the incoming Trump administration. Hearings begin for a number of vital cabinet positions. And at the top of the list, U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States. Democrats are promising to pull out all the stops. Join us now in this battle. Senator Sessions must be confirmed as our next Attorney General. Call now 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.